Let's start today from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I want to teach something today which is with a lot of reluctance. I won't lie to you. I desire to do it. How I justified it to myself is that my friend Chuk said something once. If it's the truth, it must be told. You understand that? And if you want people to learn the truth and you don't teach it, where are they supposed to know it from? And like I say all the time, God has an opinion about everything. Did you hear what I said? He has what? An opinion. In fact, he has more than an opinion. He has a will. That's more like it. He has a will about everything. There is nothing that he doesn't have a will about. All right, so for that reason, I want to say something interesting today. I won't tell you what I want to talk about. I'll just start talking. Is that all right? I'll just continue teaching, and along the line, you'll find out exactly what I want to talk about. And I won't even give you the top, because when I finish, at the end of the day, you will know, you learn something. So I said, we're talking about the basics of faith. We're running them the series up now. Today will be faith basics number 40, I think. That will be the 40th message. What we have been doing, actually, is to reestablish the fundamentals and the foundations of faith in the life of Christians. I find out that a lot of people don't understand what Christianity is about. Now, these 40 weeks we've been talking about it doesn't mean we have said everything. There are so many things that are still unsaid, but we'll just have to leave it and go on to other things. We have tried to establish what it means to be righteous, what righteousness really is. We have tried to explain what it means to be saved, what salvation is. We've talked many things here and there, how to walk in the will of God, all right? What faith really means when you claim you are walking by faith as opposed to living by faith, what those things mean. And then the last few weeks, I began to teach about, or I taught about the matter of money, how to balance the issue of money as a believer. And of course, we didn't talk in details about all these things, just to lay some quiet foundations again. Now, in concluding that, okay, there was something I said about the last few weeks, and I said, balance is what? Balance is the key to life. I said, the problem is sometimes that people just like laws, because laws are simple. Laws are actually very easy. They are very, very, very easy. You think that what do I mean by they are easy? You can make difficult laws, but the real difficulty in life is to give a man liberty and have him decide what is right and what is wrong. It's really difficult. All right? But that's where we must reach as believers. Not as deciding by ourselves, but as deciding by the Spirit of God. Are you getting my point? That is, having drunk of the Spirit of God, we will now know how to make decisions. That's what the Lord meant when he said, I will write my laws upon their hearts, and no one will have to say to his neighbor, know the Lord. That is, the Spirit of God in them will help them to make right and godly decisions each time that they come under certain circumstances. And I said, you can never get to that point until you know what the basics are. I quoted them, I think somebody was quoting him for me, Pablo Picasso, who said that first learn the rules, then you can break them. Do you understand my point? That is, you must learn the things that are fundamental first before you can say that you are beyond that. One thing I said in the last few weeks, which I need to emphasize again, Christians reason. You know, I said that before. We use our brains. We use our minds. Actually, we have better reasoning faculties than the people of the world. We have better brains, better minds. What makes us even more superior, all right, than just the inherent better abilities, is that we have another source of wisdom that they don't have. Elihu said to Job like this, I will draw my wisdom from afar, and I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. When I watch people who think they are so advanced that they don't believe there is God, I hear them speak. I feel very sorry for them. All I can see is foolishness. You are deriving all your understanding and all your knowledge about the things of life from things that are material. You are a very foolish person, honestly. Do you understand my point? You are very foolish. Because, I mean, the simple trend of technology these days, if you know the issue of radio waves and all of that, just a few hundreds of years ago, nobody knew they were there, and they were there. It's not human beings that started radio waves. Scientists won Nobel Prizes by realizing that radio waves were being emitted from the cosmic systems above us. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, but then we didn't know they were there. Does it mean they are not there? Are you getting what I'm saying? If you go into a bush, you understand when I say bush now, to people who are not developed at all, you carry a mobile phone and you're walking on the road and say, okay, so what now happened? All right, okay, tell them, they are going to look at you like, this guy has gone crazy. Why? Because he has his hand to his head and he's talking to himself. You are the one that knows you have a mobile phone and you are talking into the phone. Now, somebody will now come and argue that there is nobody, he's not talking to anybody. Until you give the person a phone, he will not know you are talking to somebody. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, Until you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not know that God is there. You can sit down there and be fooling yourself that there is no God. What am I trying to explain? All right? That is, the people of the world, they are inferior to us in reasoning because there is a faculty, there's a realm of information that we tap from that they don't have. Are you getting my point? But we reason. We don't just get up and walk, you know, by, in quote, the Spirit. We reason. When we talk about walking by the Spirit, the first and foremost thing about walking by the Spirit is walking according to the revealed Word of God. It is when you have satisfied that, or God finds out that you do not have the capacity to understand some things, that He superimposes a supernatural phenomenon upon you. Are you getting my point? It's not as if you just threw away all reasoning. No, a Christian reasons with the Word of God. We use the Word of God to reason. Very, very important. Let's not forget that. All right? Now, what I've been saying is a matter of balance. So, it's not that we just sit on the side of using our brains alone. We now know, all right, that we use our brains, but sometimes God will come with a manifestation of the Spirit beyond that which we are able to reason out with the mind that He has given us. Very important. That's what we are as believers. We don't wake up in the morning expecting not to get up until the Holy Spirit whispers. If He whispers, good. If He doesn't whisper, the normal thing to do in the morning is to get up. Do you understand my point? Now, I'm just reviewing some of the things we have said up to this point. Now, while rounding off, I just want to pick on an interesting issue, which I say I won't tell you exactly what until we have... it's a topic that nobody teaches these days, and there's no very few, in quote, word people. All right? I only hear this kind of teaching. Funny enough, in a manner in which I don't accept, all right? I only hear from certain quarters, and unfortunately, what they preach, I don't accept it. But let's try and balance the Word of God. Now, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I just want to use this one to introduce the subject. Or should we read? Okay, no, let's read the one very famous one. We'll still come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but let's start with 1 Samuel chapter 16. I already established some things along this line earlier. Let me just review. Let me say those things that I said before again. Paul, there's a difference. Let me put it like this. When Paul explained the matter of righteousness, and he said righteousness is by faith, some people went and said, it means that whatever it is you do outside doesn't matter. You're already righteous. Are you getting my point? There's what they call the doctrine of eternal salvation. How many have ever heard that expression before? That is, once you are born again, you are born again for life. There's nothing you can do to unborn you again. You get my point? That is, you are a child of God eternally. Derek Prince said something. He said, if you hear two people disagreeing on something, one holding to one extreme, the other on the other extreme, he said, most of the time, the truth is in the middle. Are you getting my point? I've heard people say that if a Christian just sins and you've been walking righteously all your life, then as you're about to cross the road, somebody annoys you, just slapping, boza! And the car knocks you down and kills you. Say, for slapping somebody, you die and go to hell. You don't find it funny because you don't know whether it's true or false. The truth is that it's a big lie. God is not stupid. I don't have time to explain it now. They say, if you just commit one act of iniquity, and you did not confess it before you died, that's it, you're done for. I say, I would hate to serve that kind of God. He doesn't reason. He has this stereotypical way of doing things. That I just did something wrong now, and the next moment I just die. But I say, thank you. No, don't come this side. Oh my God, the Lord is good. Hey, really, let me not get into that because I don't have time. But I'll just give you some statements, all right? Straight. So some people say that, okay, that's how bad it is. But someone says that, no, it doesn't matter. If your life become an armor, I shoot everybody. Sure, you've given your life to Christ before. Nothing spoiled. If you like join Osama bin Laden, tie a belt around your waist, walk into the midst of the synagogue in Israel and blow everybody up. Well, God won't like you too, but you know you're His child now. Nothing spoiled. Become a career rogue, an armor, everything. Let me just tell you one thing. Jesus said, make sure you continue, or he said, repent, and I will not erase your name from the book of life. That tells me one thing. Names can be erased. I won't go into details now discussing whether the circumstances of that which they can be raised. But the fact is what? They can be raised. They can be raised. If you go and read this book, it will answer that question very well for you. I think The Triumphant Church by Kenneth Hagin. There are some stories in there which the Lord used to teach him some things which you will learn from. Is that okay? Now, let me get back to the main thing I was trying to say. So some will say that, look, no matter what you do outside, it doesn't matter. Righteousness is of the heart. And I told you several times before telling the story, I was on campus when the teachings came into university. Well, I met it, I think, about the same time I was coming in. And it was in the University of Benin then. And people were teaching the word of faith. And part of it, they taught righteousness, all right, by faith. And you saw a lot of misbehavior of human beings who claimed that it is not them that sin, you know, it is their body. That they are spirit beings, amen? And the seed of God dwells in them, amen? So if I kill you, it is my body that killed you. My spirit is born again, hallelujah. We heard all those kind of things. The one I'm leaning towards teaching this evening. People now say, it doesn't matter how you dress. After all, righteousness is of the heart. And then you see girls wearing part of the fellowship. Whether it is Snoop Doggy Dog they are going to worship, or it is God in heaven, you really don't understand anymore. And if you open your mouth, they say, listen, righteousness is of the heart. If a man believes in the heart, all right, he shall be saved. Don't forget what we've been saying. Righteousness, sorry, balance is what? The key to life. Hallelujah. Some, of course, are on the other extreme. Why should you be making up? You are saying that God did not make you enough. I say, bros, why did you dress up? Why didn't you dress down? Are you getting on the extreme? Balance is what? The key to life. So both extremes exist. Let me just say something quickly. Bible says that don't add to his word, all right, lest he make you a liar. Whether you are on the extreme of extreme holiness, in quote, on the extreme of extreme liberality, both of you are on extremes and you are adding to the word of God, and he will have to make you a liar. So none should feel more righteous than the other. I was in the camp, when I was on campus, that I felt more righteous than the extreme holy people. But I know be woman, I be man, so but though, even then, there are things that, I was in a fellowship that had a lot of sense. We're always walking in the middle. We had friends on both sides. But for the rest of us, we had sense, we kept in the middle. It was very, very crucial, all right? Balance is the key to life. Now, I want to explain something. There's a scripture we used to use then, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's quickly read it. Where we got a lot of things we were saying then from. I told, in fact, today when I was coming, I said, Lord, is this all I'm going to say today? I hope there's something more. Now, you know the story about when God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse so that he might anoint a new king in replacement of for Saul. Then he now said in verse 6, then it came about when they entered that he looked at Eliab, that is the sons of Jesse were now walking in front of him, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. I did not just not accept him, but I rejected him. I did not just not choose him. I rejected him, meaning that I considered him. Are you getting my point? He must have been considered. And God said, for God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And then you know the rest of the story. Well, what he was saying in effect is that when God made a choice of who the king would be, he made his choice based upon what the heart is like. Are you getting my point? In fact, you know, was he here I was teaching or where? Last few days, I've been preaching the last few days somewhere. So I don't know whether I was here. Anyway, I was quoting that proverb that we quote all the time, that as a man thinks in his heart, all right, so he is. And I read it, I said, listen, what he was saying simply is this. It is not what a man says you use to judge him. You judge him by how he thinks, which makes it difficult for you to judge anybody. Are you getting my point? Because I said, don't eat the bread of a stingy man, because he says to you, eat, eat, but his heart is not with you. The next clause, almost in brackets, because as a man thinks in his heart, that is what really he is like. That's what Solomon was explaining. Are you getting my point? That his real character is how he thinks. And we know from the Bible that Absalom spoke very good words, but God looked at his heart and said, this guy is not right. You remember when Absalom was scheming to take over from David? If you came then, all right, to do anything in the courts of the king, Absalom will come, very big man, a prince in Israel. He will come down, pick you up by the hands, talk to you nicely and say, what's the problem? One man took my land. He said, hey, how long have you been around? I said, 3 days. Nobody has listened to you. He said, nobody. He said, ah, only if I were king, where I were the king, I will have structures for attending to things like this. As a man thinks in his heart, not as a man says with his mouth. All right? That's what he really is. And God looked at the heart of Absalom, that all these things that he's saying, they are not real. Are you getting my point? You are getting what I'm saying? That is, God looks at the heart and knows exactly what a man is thinking, and by that, he decides what the man is really like. So, based on that principle that I explained to Samuel, I have looked at the heart of Eliab, and it does not have the heart of a king that can replace Saul. But we stick a lot of times to say that God does not look at all on the outside. And I want to make bold to you to say this to you today. That God indeed looks on the outside. He does not, it's just that he doesn't judge a man's character by what is outside. He said, what do I mean? Open your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 28. There's something that we should quickly note. Now, let me quickly say something. A man came to Jesus once and said, Master, which one is the greatest of the commandments? Are you following me? And what did the Lord say to him? What do you think? And he said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might, with all thy liver and all thy kidneys and all thine intestines. And the Lord said, you have well said. But there is another law that is not inferior to it. It says of the same level when we are ranking laws. Are you getting my point? And what is that one? Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Very good. Now, why did I tell that story again? It tells you that the Lord agreed that commandments had different rankings. Amen? I don't know whether you got my point. Jesus answered that question. They said, which one is the greatest? He said, what do you think? And the man said, that's very correct. But there is one that is not inferior to it. Now, what I'm bringing out from there is this. He agreed that commandments have different rankings. And they are not all on the same level. If they didn't have, he would have said the greatest. Ah, which one is the greatest? Oh, better go and obey all of them. What was in trouble? Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, why did I say so? There are things that are central and they are core to Christianity. When was I talking about the balance, all right, being the key to life, which refer to the council that met in Jerusalem. And they set some things in place, all right? Abstain from sexual immorality, they told the people. They gave them some basic things, and they said, if you do these things, it will be well with you. Some things are basic. Now, one of the things we build denominations around in Christianity are the things that are not basic and are not fundamental. In fact, when Jesus was teaching the people then, when they were asking him about the law, he said, you tithe mint and cumin, vegetables, every little thing, recharge card that a man gets. He said, but you have neglected what? Weightier matters of the law. That is, they were under the law, things had different weights. What I'm bringing from there is this, all right? What I want to bring out is that in spiritual things also, that's the way it is. Things have different weights. In Christianity, things have different ways. They're not all on the same level. Unfortunately, we tend to camp around things that have little weight. We don't know how to overlook the things that are menial. Things that are light, we don't know how to overlook them. We sit on them and build denominations around them. For example, I've thought about it. People camp around denomination, whether they're baptized by immersion or by sprinkling. Are you getting my point? I don't think it's the right thing to camp around. And you say, Pastor Banky, you don't think it is weighty? I'll tell you why I don't think it's weighty. Paul boldly declared, he sent me to preach, not to baptize. Are you getting my point? People camp around. Do you believe that speaking in tongues is a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Or you don't? And a man says, I believe a man can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he doesn't have to speak in tongues to prove it. You don't do anything. Then they camp and say, we're a church of, like Americans call them, holy rollers. So every service, we want to speak in tongues to harass everybody. The man speaking in other tongues, of course he should. Paul said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. But to create denominations based on it, I think is Christian underdevelopment. Let me just use that nice word. You follow my point? Yes. I don't think it is right. I don't think minor things should divide. No, it shouldn't divide believers. I told a man, told me once, my cousin actually, a young man, said that in their school, that there's this particular man, they all say, preaches heresy. And I said, oh, what does he say? Did he say Jesus was born of Joseph and not of Mary, or what? You know, maybe Joseph was the one that had the belly. And you know what I'm saying? That Joseph received the Holy Spirit and got pregnant. He said, no, that the man does not believe in tithing. I said, what? So that is why all of you labeled him as a heretic. You never heard Peter preach on tithing. You never heard Paul preach on tithing. You never heard James preach on tithing. You never heard any of these people preach on it, yet you decided. Now, I'm not talking about whether it is right or wrong now. I think you should be able to be in the same church. And I agree that you tithe. I don't believe it. I believe in generous giving. They say, you are missing something. They say, you don't know what you are missing. And we'll leave it there. We'll continue. After all, when you go, they say, do you want water? No, I want to drink a bottle of malt. No, I want Gouda. People did drink, and you are in the same party. I just can't have the party because somebody is not drinking Gouda. You are getting my point? I think Christians should grow beyond those things. Why did I say all of these things? What I'm talking about today, actually, is one of those things that I believe they are minor. That's why I put it towards the end. I was even reluctant to preach about it. But it was the only thing that I believe the Holy Spirit left in my mind. And I thought about it before. I said, well, let's just dispense of it in a few minutes and we'll leave here. But even though it's minor, it's still important. Do you get my point? Yes, it is still important. And truth, if you want to grab it totally, let's grab every bit of it, all right, and try and balance it. I just said what I've said so far, for us to learn the things, that some things are less important than other things. Are you getting my point? Please bear that in mind. Now, where did we, we're reading where? Okay, I said she opened somewhere. Exodus 28. Just to prove that, even though, why I said all of these things, because I'm going to read this, I need to just say to you, first of all, that I'm not saying these are the things that God is sitting on in your life. No. It's just that we need to just learn some things. Exodus 28, I want to just bring out something there. Where I want to read up is verse 2, but I just like to read in context. In verse 1, it says, then bring there to yourself Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel, to minister as priests to me, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Now verse 2, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for what? Let me read it again. He said, you shall make holy garments. What did he say you shall make? It's not a holy hat that you make for your brother. It's what? A holy garment. If it didn't matter to God what he looked like outside, why is he making garments for him? Are you getting my point? He now emphasized that the garment must be of a particular type. It must be made for glory and for what? Beauty. Don't tell me God doesn't care how a Christian dresses. I don't believe he doesn't care. I don't believe he doesn't care. I just believe that it's not crucial. It's not the core of Christianity. Are you getting my point? No, it's not. It's not one of those things. But like I said, we're trying to grab every little bit of things before we just pack this issue of faith basics up. All right? But I think God actually has an opinion and he has a will. If you go and read my book, this is going to sound very funny. Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explained there that how a man dresses affects his faith. Oswald Chambers said something. That you cannot divide a man into spirit, soul, and body. A man is spirit, soul, and body. Are you getting my point? That you can't separate the three. There are three parts of the person. His spirit, his soul, and his body. And Solomon says something. I checked how to stimulate my mind, my soul, by consuming something in my body, wine. That is, the chemicals that enter my body affect how my soul operates. When Elisha was approached, he said, do what? Bring me a minstrel. Then the minstrel began to play. What entered his ears physically affected how his spirit connected with God. Don't tell me it doesn't matter what you listen to. It does. It does. It does. I think I'm a liberal person. One day, one brother entered my car and he saw a CD, Two Face, Idibia. He said, Pastor, you listen to Two Face. I said, what's wrong with it? He sings good music. He was shocked. One of them said, I'm a very liberal person. I think Bob Marley sings very well. But you know what? I can't listen to Bob Marley. Because anytime he starts playing, I don't know why, my spirit just can't sing along. Yeah. I'm not one that says, is it gospel music? No. I'm not like that. If it sounds nice, let's hear it. Like I always say, it's not all the doctors you see that are Christian doctors. Your tailor may be a Muslim tailor. In fact, the guy that sews my native clothes is an allergy. Are you getting my point? For that reason, if you are playing music, I'm not so into, is he a Christian or is not? A lot of those who call themselves Christian musicians are criminals. A lot of them are criminals. Christians are very kind people. No matter how useless your talent is, just call it gospel. We'll buy it to encourage you. So that's why I'm kind of a bit relaxed. There's one guy who mentioned his name. I heard he has repented. I listened to him for the first time in my life after I heard he repented. He was wave in Nigeria. Everywhere you go, everybody's bubbling. Every church, they're bubbling to his music. Choir will sing his music. Once they bring the man's music, I know they sing. My wife said, what's your problem? I said, I know they sing. He said, that guy is a criminal. Maybe because I know of him. So in my mind, I'm irritated once the guy starts singing. If he starts on TV, as he starts like this, I flip the channel. And all he's singing is, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. From the bottom of our hearts. I get my friend, change that channel. That guy is a thief. I listened to him for the first time a few months ago when I heard of his repentance. This was after years of reigning in Christian music circles in Nigeria. You know, when they released Mandela at that time, a lot of musicians became believers. Because there was nothing to sing with Free Mandela. We don't have Free Mandela now. Okay, what else? Imprison Mandela. We are not imprisoning him. Leave him. You are getting on the next thing. Now, because I think I'm a bit of a liberal person. I'm not. I will listen to you first. But despite that, I notice that generally, 99% of the times, I don't enjoy secular music. Generally. One, most of them, their words are dirty. They are dirty. The first time I heard this guy, what's his name now? No, not Snoop. The first time I heard Snoop, actually, I never heard a man as talented as that, I thought. I was in my friend's house, so he left me, he went out. So to occupy myself, I put the CD in. Man, the guy released one line, I said, my God, this guy is too bad. You know what I'm saying? Then second line, third line, I said, this guy is really bad. I pulled the thing out. I said, excuse me. Ah. It's Shaggy, I was trying to remember. First time I heard Shaggy, I said, wow, talent made in heaven. Even the devil can't do this one. He can't. And let me tell you the truth. Most men you hear, their talents came from God. It's how they are using it that came from the devil. The talent itself, I'm about God give them. The method of using it is the one devil say, listen, forget that side. Listen, let me show you how to use it to make money fast. When you're singing righteousness, nobody go buy you. If you sing holy adult, nobody's going to buy you. If you say, oh, young boy, be nice and take it easy, nobody will buy it. We say, puyaka, puyaka, shoot them. Ah, 1 million copies. You are getting what I'm saying? All right? First time I heard the man, I said, oh, this is talent. They did one trade fair. I heard him. Actually, my neighbor was playing in his car. And all I heard from it was, why me, Lord, why me? I said, oh, is he going to say my Lord? Okay, now. So they were doing trade fair. I didn't know anything about him. I just, you know, just on the way. And I saw one guy selling. You get shaggy. He said, yes, let me have it. I collected it. I went home. I played one track number one. Lagwaja caught me sleeping with the girl next door. Go punish your father. Come out of my music set. And sleep with any girl next door. You dey mad? What kind of insult is that? In my music set. My pioneer music set that I bought with my God-given money. And that kind of thing, they make NEPA blow equipment. You don't know. There are times you are playing something. Baba God will say, stop. Oh. And say, Lord, Pastor Frank say it doesn't matter. I'm waiting. Yeah. He says, stop. Oh. One ninja will just shunt. Bam, boom. The thing will blow. And I'll tell you. Oi. The thing is dead. Now, why am I saying all of these things? Listen to me. Don't let anybody deceive you that what you listen to doesn't matter. It's not true. I like one thing. Prince Wowo said once, when he was doing his sex talk, Prince Wowo said that, he said, when you come to church and pastor said, don't let them touch you anyhow. You say, amen, praise the Lord. So anyway, go any boy want to touch, come on, behave. Then you don't go and play P squared. And he said, touch me, I touch you, man, no the vex. He said, so next time somebody touches you, your body says, man, not supposed vex. Is ministration. Somebody has ministered words. Let's even leave words now. Rhythm. They can even minister rhythm to you that disconnects you from heaven. I'm not joking about it. If a minstrel could connect Elisha to heaven, noise will disconnect you from heaven. And that's not a joke. That's why, as liberal as I think I am, most secular music, I say most, because like I told you, I'm open. It's when I hear you, as you gel or regel, you know what I mean, on gel or correct gel or disgel with my spirit. I found out that even some that are very nice and good, once I play two or three times, my spirit just says, I beg, there are things more edifying than this one going on. Not as if it is wrong in itself. That's why I'm not going to read now because of time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I wanted to read just now. Paul said, okay, let's just read it for the sake of accuracy. Paul said, even though it is lawful, First Corinthians chapter 6. That was the first place we opened to before I now went to the other one to start. What I'm trying to establish is that your body is part of you. Are you getting my point? Yes, it is. And the things that affect your body, you can't eat too much as a good Christian. It's not good. Yeah, I'm serious about that. Let me tell you something about Christians. We tend to make laws about things. I heard that in England of those days, maybe the days of them, John Wesley and Co., any Christian, any preacher that's fat, forget it, to no ministry for him. Because you know what it meant to them? He ain't praying, he ain't fasting. But of course, those are extremes. Those are extremes, all right? Those are extremes, all right? But at least tells you something. Christians know that it may not defile your body, but you have to do all things with moderation. I'll explain something as we go on. God has given us only 24 hours in a day. No matter how hard you pray, it doesn't become 26 hours. So wisdom, he said, teach us to number our days. David said that we might apply a heart of wisdom. Bear that one in mind. And Paul said, redeem the time because the days are evil. To redeem means to buy back. Something always gives for you to acquire something else. That's what it means. What am I saying? Everything you take, you spend time doing, there is something else you are not doing. It's called opportunity cost. Many years ago, Ken Hagin told us something. He said, I like a good detective novel. I like them. They are very nice. Except that, except in the last 20 years, I have not read one. He said, Bros, why not? He said, because I've not had the time. As a young boy, and I wondered, now, wow, what thing do you do with time? My brethren, a detective or whatever novel, I'm not sure I've read one now in the last 15 years. Why? I have not had the time. I like very nice movies. Except that on the average, I watch one new one every 6 months or 1 year. You will give it to me, it's in my handle. Ha! My wife, this is a very good movie. We must watch it. We are going to watch it, too. We are going to watch it. Don't worry, we are going to watch it. Week one, week two, week three, week four. We are going to watch it. Well, we will watch it, too. We must watch this movie. You know Slumdog Millionaire? The talk is everywhere. I have Slumdog Millionaire. I have not watched it since I've had it. I don't know for how long. And people have been talking about it. To even discourage me further, they tell me that it's okay, Sha. It's not too interesting. That's the end of it. I end up watching movies I've watched before. You know why? So that I can watch for 10 minutes and stop. You watch for 10 minutes and stop it there. What am I saying? Paul said, okay, let me just read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So when talking about things being lawful, in verse 12 he said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. New American Standard. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. In answer, food is for the stomach, and stomach is for food. But God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Now, let me just quickly explain what I'm saying there. What he was saying, in effect, is that even though you may argue on the letters of something, what is more important is we ask ourselves, how helpful is the thing that we are dealing with? And that's why I'm explaining some of these things. I'm persuaded this is not guesswork. I know that the kind of things you hear that you call music affects your behavior. It affects how you think. And you know, interesting part, you don't know it. You don't. One day I heard a story. One of my friends, Chuks, told me the story that, talking about rock music. People told me then that rock music is not of God. And I said, What does it matter? Doesn't matter. You understand my point? I guess my problem is I actually never heard rock music. The closest things I heard to rock music were Christian rock, which has been Holy Spirit-based, cleaned. Because there's one particular musician called Petra Praise. Petra. Petra did Petra Praise 1. The one I got was Petra Praise 2. Petra Praise 2, it's beautiful. I'm still trying to get it. He sang a lot of gospel music with the rocky background. You understand my point? That's not rock. That is Petra. You don't get what I'm saying? Real rock is breathed from hell. That one is Petra. What Petra is doing is evangelism. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, he will sing his music that sounds like rock to those who sing rock, to play that live rock, hoping that they will listen to it. But as a matter of fact, those who really are into rock will not listen to Petra because he doesn't have the spirit that they are looking for. They just... Nobody that one did they find. Your own does not go with, you know, it doesn't go with, you know, it doesn't turn the head. It makes us praise. That's not what we are looking for. So my friend chose him that once. Two young people. They finished either attending a rock concert or watching rock on TV or listening to it. The next thing, they entered their rooms. By the time they came out, their parents couldn't recognize them again. They don't shave head for this side. Blow this side. Color this one yellow. Wore green shirt, you know. The Bible says, woe to him that calls good evil and evil good. That is, they made beauty, all right? They corrupted beauty and called corruption beautiful. How can you scrape one side of the head and paint the other one yellow? And then draw, you know, draw dragon on your face. And you tell me that you are not mentally out of order. Come on, you are. Listen. I studied, of course, I had to do psychiatry as a medical student. If a man has the disease we call hypomania, a mental condition, or mania, if he enters here, one of the first ways you know is what he looks like. If you see a man appear in a yellow shirt, green tie, purple trousers, orange shoes, and he has chain around his neck, ring on the right hand, on the left hand, and most importantly, in the midst of all of this, he's smiling. Just know he's not normal. There was one guy one day, just to make you laugh. I saw him on the corridor, and he was walking. He had this funny bracelet on his right wrist. Because I was a senior medical student, I took a glance at him. I told myself, this guy ain't normal. You know why? He had this smile on his face, and he was bouncing. I looked at him and said, I'm not sure this guy. In cerebral cortex, they know the same, they know they were the same level. One come down small, the other one rise up small. And they look at it. Anyway, I passed. Then I entered the room. Who did I see? The guy. And he was educating the guy he came to see on the realms of God. Ah, I said it. And this guy is not together. And I asked him, which religion is your own? He said that I don't have any religion. I'm a follower of God. I said, no wonder. I knew this guy was not together. How did I suspect? He just walked up past me. I just look at the guy like this. This guy. I told myself, something is out of order. The Lord is good. Now, why did I tell his own story? Is God judging a man by what he looks like outside? No. But what he looks like outside is a reflection of what he is inside. Open to the book of Proverbs chapter 7. Let me show you something there. I've quoted it a number of times. Let's just read it. Now, he was talking about wisdom and how the opposite of wisdom is the adulteress. And that what wisdom wants to do is to keep you away from the adulteress in verse 5. He now began to describe the experience in verse 6. He said, at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner. And he takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night and in the darkness. And behold, verse 10 is where I was going, a woman comes to meet him. Who has the King James Bible there? That a woman came to meet him in the attire of a harlot. My Bible, New American Standard, uses the expression dressed as a harlot. If you enter your mechanic workshop, your car has a problem, and you say, please, can I see the mechanic the way it is in Nigeria? And somebody dressed like me, just look at me now, shows up and says, yes, what's the problem? You say, I said the mechanic. You will ask him, say, please, well, I said, give me the mechanic. Or you go to a hospital. He said, doctor, my chest. And the nurse said, okay, sit down. They took a vital sign. He said, where's the doctor? He said, he's coming. As soon as he shows up, as a man enters and says, he's that. He says, the doctor. And he's wearing a blue or green, you know, overall with boots, oil stains on the stuff. And he has one spanner in the right hand and a screwdriver in the left hand. You say, in fact, the Lord just healed my chest. I'm going home. Instantly, You know, this guy ain't the doctor. He cannot possibly be. Why? He's not in the attire of a doctor. That's what I'm going to explain. Why did Solomon know when he was peeping through the window who met him? Simple. The way she was dressed. If she had come out, do you understand my point? Looking like a princess in Israel, he would have said, and then met him around the corner of my window, a one with the appearance of a princess. When Daniel would see angels, he would tell you he had the appearance of the prince, of a prince. Why? He would tell you about his garb and the gold belt around his waist. That's what I tell you. One of the chief princes, that is, we see those bobo, you see regality around them. Now, please don't forget what I said. I said, laws, commandments have weight. They are greatest of commandments. Alright? And these are the smaller ones of the commandments. No matter how powerfully it seems I'm delivering the message, it's still one of the smaller ones of the commandments. Because I found out, if you lay emphasis on what people look like outside purely, then you are opening doors for great corruption. The meaning of the word hypocrite. The word hypocrite in Greek is the word actor. So, they use it to describe people who live one life behind, and then when they come out, they start acting another way. That's what we now call hypocrisy, a hypocrite. What am I saying? The easiest way to create hypocrites is to lay all your emphasis as a preacher on outward appearance. Actors, you see one man in one film, he's shooting people, he's a mafia don. The next film is a reverend father. Why? Because it's hypocrisy, acting. So that's why we don't lay all the emphasis. I just wanted to check that one in briefly, all right? Please, I don't want us to lose track at all. All right? Now, let me get back to what I was saying. But having said that, okay, I'm still explaining to us that it matters. One of my friends those days, as young boys, of course, that we were, I was not like that. I was taught from secondary school not to like fella. All right? So I did not like him. You know who's fella? Fella Anikulapu Kuti. His father did not call him Anikulapu. He gave himself the name Anikulapu. Say, I have death in my pouch. So my friend liked him. And then he started a political party called Movement of the People, MOP. That was 1979. And then, years later, there was one movie of his that my friend, that's like a musical, well, documentary musical or something, that I saw in my friend's house. And that's my friend that used to like Fela a lot. He said, if Fela contests for an election, he will vote for him. I said, you want to vote for Anamugbo? He said, no, forget. Man with a smoke in their hemp. He said, forget. I will vote for him. Then one day, I came to him. I said, you need to watch this. So he put the video cassette in. This was around early, mid-80s. Around 86, thereabout. So, Fela was describing police brutality. How army dealt with him. How the police... So he now wanted to show the cameraman. So he turned his back that they should look at it. Meanwhile, all this interview period, he was wearing pata. You know what they say, pata? It was wearing brief like this, with his leg crossed. So now got up to show them the back. So the cameraman, being a nice guy, was filming his back. The man said, right down to my ash, man, and commoted the pata on television. My friend said, this is why I'm not voting for him again. He said, no, I'm not voting for this guy again. He said, I'm not voting for him. He said, before he goes to wear pata to United Nations. That's what he said. What am I saying? It is wrong for presidents to wear pata to United Nations. That's where I'm going with this whole story. Bishop Oyedepo, I was watching the other day on TV. He said he went somewhere, I think a friend of his, a minister. He saw the boy's hair, you know. The head was one kind. The hair was one guy. So he calls him. Maybe the boy had one earring. He said, listen, my friend. You've seen presidents gather. I said, yes. You've seen big diplomats gather. Name one of them for me that has this kind of hair. He said, go back home and go and shave that thing. Men, hair like this is carried by those who are not going anywhere. I took wisdom that day. It's like the day Fela Duruto, he was preaching. He said, people practice being at the back. Then they come. You see, you know, that scripture, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I said, he wasn't trying to describe, you must have this kind of thing, that to come to you. No, that's not what he was saying. He was saying that it's not what you say. It is what is really inside your heart. Fela Duruto, he said that, you tell people, come to, they go to a class. All the seats are empty. They say sit down anywhere. They go and sit at the back. Everywhere they go, they practice sitting at the back. Then they start saying, God, you put me in front. Say, God, say, waiting. I left all the seats open. Which one did you choose? Back seat. Now you practice. He said, whatever you do every time, you become good at it. So if you're always sitting at the back, you become good at sitting at the back. Then I start praying, God, he will lift me. God said, leave me. Leave me. I gave you empty seats. You chose the one at the back. The day Fela Duruto said that thing, I said, my God. But let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the truth. I noticed something since I was young. I never liked back seats. Unless I didn't like the place. If you see me at the back, you know it's a place I don't like. I remember as a medical student during war drums, people used to hide so that nobody would ask them questions. I used to sneak to the front so I could lean on the patient's... there's this table they used to write and patients could use. So I could lean on it. I noticed. From the time I was young, exam hall, I sat in front. Why? I hated people disturbing me with whispering during exam. So if I sit in front, the invigilator is in front of us, you ain't going to disturb me. I thanked God that for a long time, I practiced being in front. Are you going to say? Now, why am I saying all of these things? Bishop told that young man, say, people who are going to, who are in the places, all right, where you are hoping to go to, they don't look like you are looking. No, that they don't look like that. So if that's where you really want to go, that's like the story of Fela Duruto, all right? That you make a habit, do you follow, of what you really want to become. You make a habit of it now. We have talked about the more important things, faith, prayer, all right, planning, all those kind of things. But let's talk about the things that are less important, but are still important. Next thing I'm going to talk about satanic agenda. About the next year's series. The agenda of Satan on the earth. Let me tell you something. In everything you do, you are serving God or serving the devil. Either serving God's agenda or serving Satan's agenda. That's a matter of fact. In everything. I'll tell you something. It shouldn't surprise you. You should know. Satan is alive. And he has a plan. And that plan is summarized in one word called corruption. There are different kinds of corruption. Or different spheres which corruption manifests. There's corruption in family. There's corruption in academics. There's corruption in every kingdom on this earth. There's corruption everywhere. And Satan has his own kind of corruption he's pushing inside. He does. I found out that one of the places where Satan functions actively is in the corruption of young people. Because they are the future of every nation. In fact, he so succeeded in America that Bill Clinton and co. decided to be given visa lottery. I'm not joking about that. You see American visa lottery, every time American visa lottery. You know why? Because the typical American youth has lost drive. He doesn't want to work. They knew that if they continue like that, America would not be the greatest nation on the earth for a very long time. So you know what they did? They imported foreigners who are hungry. And because what makes a nation great is the strength of the individuals. They claimed and said, oh boy, let's import new people. That's why the visa lottery is from third world countries, Asia, Africa, Eastern Europe. They don't give visa lottery in Western Europe. You go and import an overfed cat to come to an overfed society. Why? Now, why am I saying all of that? Because the young people generally have lost drive. You affect the young people, you affect the nation tomorrow. And one of the ways Satan did it is simple. He taught them rebellion. And amongst the first places you first read rebellion in a child is in the way the child dresses. Listen, what I'm telling you is sociology and scripture and spiritual facts. You know, in American schools, if it's American secondary school, every guy goes to school the way he likes. Dress the way you like, wear what you like, everything. And then they find that kids carry guns to school, they are on drugs, the girls are getting pregnant recklessly. I read one report, I pray I can find it again. Either it was in Reader's Digest or Newsweek or Time Magazine. One particular town in America, the parents gathered and did one single thing. They reintroduced school uniforms in their public schools. And you know all these problems disappeared? Just by reintroducing school uniform. Say, from now on, you will come to school wearing this. Instinctively, the students began to obey their teachers. That is why no matter how liberal America wants to be, every soldier has the same haircut and the same uniform. Yes, you can play all this play among civilians. But the Bible makes it clear, soldiers don't play. And even in America, soldiers don't play. Soldiers still march and they all wear the same uniform. And you still tell Oga, yes sir. You want to talk to your superior? You are an American, you are in the army, you still stand straight, stick out your chest, and still, yes, sir! Why? Because in the time of battle, if you have not practiced obedience in the time of peace, you won't obey that time. In the time of peace, you are talking anyhow. you know, that's why, my wife is not around. There are little things I tell her. Like I said, these are not the weightier matters of the law. They are the gentle things, but little foxes actually spoil the vine. That's why you have never heard my wife call me Banky. Have you ever heard it? Think about it. You have never heard it. Banky has never dropped from my wife's mouth to call me. Is it a sin? No, it's not. Is it bad? No, it's not bad. But everybody on this earth calls their wife, their husband by their first name. I told my wife, not here. Not here. No. Everybody can say, hey, husband, how now? Shake hand. No, my wife, husband, how are you? It was discussion. We arrived at it from reading the scriptures. The Bible says, no woman was ever commended for saying, my husband is my sweetheart. Have you ever heard it? That God said, that woman is so good, she called her husband sweetheart. The only woman commended called her husband what? My Lord. Thank you very much. The Bible says, you must learn to approve those things that are excellent. There are good things, but there are things that are excellent. Every morning, my wife repeats to my children, what is the first thing you do in the morning when you see your parents? You greet. So the boys will prostrate, the girl will kneel down both knees. Then I will bless them from my soul. There's no modernity that's going to make me... My boys and I, we play. We are always playing. We are very close. You understand my point? Yes. But there are little things that help you practice the big things. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It conforms your body to obey the word of God. It sounds funny, but I know what I'm telling you is true. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you might be careful to observe all the things that are written therein. Then you will make your way prosper and have good success. Success, prosperity comes from obedience to the word of God. Amen? Amen? Obedience to the word of God comes from habits. It is the habit you formed earlier that makes it easy for you to obey God. If you are supposed to be submissive to your husband, and every morning, wake up in the morning, husband, how are you? Tap him on the head. You think you are playing. And you really, you are playing. But you won't understand, the day chips are down, you will say no. I am not going to obey you. And you will know why you won't know why you said no. It's because long before that, you practice not taking him serious. There are little things my wife and I, at the beginning, I explained to her. If you're on the phone and I walk in, you call the phone. No, I'm not joking. If I enter my house and my wife is on the phone, as soon as I open the door, she'll tell the person, I'll call you back. My husband just came in. So I just say, who is that? She'll tell me. I say, no, continue your call. But she won't continue talking. And I walk past.
No, it doesn't happen. You are practicing how to disobey when serious things are down. It's respect. You are getting what I'm trying to say? Sometimes I joke with people when I talk to somebody, somebody talking on the phone, I say, man, hang up that phone. If I'm in the presence of my seniors, my phone rings. I cut it. I just reject the call. If it's a very big person that's calling me, sir, excuse me, can I take this call? Yes, sir. Then I step back. Please, sir, I'm talking with Professor so and so. I'll call you back immediately after now. What am I saying? You practice little things in the time of battle when the machine gun is out. And the captain tells his team, his platoon, oh yeah, move. The only reason why they move is because before then they were greeting him at attention like this. You get what I'm saying? Little things. Obedience to the word of God is what gives us success. Yes. But to obey God's word, we create habits beforehand. He said, what is the habit? You shall meditate day and night. You keep talking. Even when there's no trouble, when no pressure is put upon you to obey in the time of crisis. No, you keep talking. That your body is conformed. Those little habits are the things that conform your body for obedience in the time of trouble. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why, listen. I told you, I'm even happy I didn't say exactly what I want to talk about. But so here and there, I've been bringing it out. You ask me that, does it matter how Christians dress? I think it does. I told you about corruption of Satan. Listen, the word lust is used a lot in the Bible. And it is not a joke. There's a book. It's been listed as one of our books, but actually I've not finished it. All right? It's titled Worship and Sex Control. When I finish this book, you'll learn some things. But I'll chip something in for you at this point. Sexual immorality is tied to godlessness in the adults. If you see a society where children are sexually immoral, the parents don't serve God. I'm not saying they are not preachers, so they can preach as well. Isn't that what I'm saying? So you go and see societies that have denied God, the women walk naked. But they control the television. Are you getting my point? Versace was a homosexual. He taught all the women on earth to dress. One reverend that wrote an article, he said, how can a man who does not desire women tell women what to wear? Let me add my own words to it, except it's in a cult of Satan. This life is not a joke. Satan is very active. He is very, very active. It is a deliberate thing that they... Have you not noticed? The women will wear skirt. It starts from here. It's shorting. It reach here. We refuse to fall. They say, okay, we know what we'll do to you. Then they went to tight. They say, I'm not interested. It's okay. Sure, it was men that was wearing sagging before. The girls are now wearing sagging too. So when you see shokoto, you know they pass like this. If you're a Christian woman, don't wear it. Not because the trouser itself is a sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? But because you are drinking of the influence of the spirit of this age, they have an agenda. You just don't realize it. Why should you wear a trouser that packs your bonbon very tight? Then you'll not be going on the road and be dragging your top like this. You decrease for head. Are you a mentalo? Does it not make sense to wear what is comfortable? You want to bend to pick something? What kind of struggle is that? There are things you just look, you just revolt saying, no. Now, you see, let me balance the key to life here. Eh? One of the reasons why people just used to reject basic common sense is because a lot of times it's projected by people with too much sense. What I mean is this. Christians, they now say that a woman should not wear trousers. And I ask them why. They say, it is man's clothing. I said, show me. A woman shouldn't wear men's trousers. I agree. But there are women's trousers, are they not? And Jesus used to wear bubu. You know that? Jesus used to wear bubu. He didn't have my kind of suit. He wore robes. That's what I'm trying to explain. Kings wore robes. I'm a Yoruba man, right? By natural birth. When a Yoruba woman wants to dress, she ties what? A wrapper. When I went to marry, they gave me wrapper. Why? Because where my wife is from, the men tie what? Wrapper. They said, don't wear female. I didn't wear female clothes. Too. I wore, in fact, the kind of wrapper that the men tie. Women can't tie it. The thing is too long. If I still have my wrapper at home, and they hold on like this, the wrapper reader said, you can, you see, there's a trick for tying it. The first time I tied the thing like this, one of my wife's uncles looked, said, Banky, it's not like that. I said, uncle, please, you will have to help me. So you stand like this, you go this way, fold like this, and then you twist it here. Wham! I now got the point. When I came out with my cap and walking stick, I got a wife. But they made a joke. There was the then federal minister of finance in Nigeria, Okoti Ebo. He said he was an Yoruba man. That his wrapper, it was, you know, the train of his robe used to fill the temple. So when the man is going there, the thing with the drape for back, it's a sign that he's a big man. Anyway, that's just by the way. The point I'm making is this. They wore wrappers. They wear wrappers. Niger Delta men wear wrappers. You see it. I wore it to get married. When you get to my house, see my album, you see me looking very regal in my wrapper. You will even see my son. He has one picture in my sitting room. I went for one of my in-laws' wedding. So my mother-in-law dressed him up very nicely, complete with cap, a shortened walking stick, and his own big wrapper. Are you getting my point? So you want to make a law, say, he wants to argue, and I don't want to get into that argument. Is this men clothing or female clothing? Actually, let me just answer it for you, all right? What the Bible said simply, what it was saying is that don't be a cross-dresser. What do you call cross-dressing? A man dresses up, you think he's a woman. Boy George. How many of you have heard of Boy George? Musician of from Great Britain. Boy George was a cross-dresser. He's the kind of person that God commanded should not exist in Israel. Boy George used to make up like a woman. Wear nice Japanese robes. He had complete makeup. His hair do everything. He was a perfect, beautiful girl. Except that he was a boy. And because he had gogongo, you know what they call gogongo? Anyway, this is Adam's apple. Uh-huh. Because he's a man. So he used to tie a scarf around his neck to hide that one. That's a cross-dresser. That one is against the will of God. Not even commandment about the cloth now that's against the will of God. That's perversion. And it's a sign of godlessness and demon possession. I'm not joking, no. I told you, most of the people who do deliverance, when they see demon possessed people, they will run. Because you have so delivered normal people. That your strength is lost. When you know somebody who really needs deliverance, you go disappear. Because you see a man, you know, I told all these girls that their boyfriends have jilted them. They now come to church, say, hey, you have a mommy water spirit. Yes, so I have. That's why he left. So we'll deliver you right now. Come out. Hey, come out. The girl will run on the floor. When the real demon arrives, you see a girl tell you, say, you have a mommy water spirit. The girl will say, I am the mommy water. When you hear the voice, you will disappear. You see a giant voice coming out of a girl that's 5 feet tall. After that, you go look and say, they come. Because you are so used to casting out demons from where they don't exist. I'm telling you. What am I going to say? There are real. No, I'm telling you, what I say is not a joke. When demon possess person, he possesses his voice, answer you like this, you will look back. Because voices that come from the realm of the spirit, they are fearful. Anyway, why did I say all of that? Indeed, there are people who are demon possessed. A lot of them, you see them on the streets. I believe that people like Boy George, that was one of them. And don't think, people think that he was just dressing for show. It's an obsession. If he doesn't wear those clothes, his body won't be at rest. You know the way you feel when you have not eaten for like maybe a whole day?
You start trembling. It's like a man on drugs. He hasn't taken his shot. He's jonesing. You know what they call jonesing? See, man is jonesing. He's doctor will call it withdrawal symptoms. He starts trembling. He will be feeling insects crawling all over his body. That's why he wants to kill somebody to get the next shot of his drugs. A man who has that spirit, that transvestite spirit, that's how he goes after female clothes. He's not trying to play. What am I saying? Those are the kind of things that God's commanding about. That people don't get the point. Now start fighting things that are irrelevant. He said, actually, a woman wear trousers. Listen, I have my simple laws about it. One, basically, let me just say this before I give my laws. One, bear something in mind. Ask yourself a simple question. The man who designed this cloth, what was he thinking about? My wife bought one blouse some time ago. She wears two blouses to wear that blouse. You know why? The real blouse is cut down to this level. I don't need to tell you that you cannot wear that blouse and go out. It doesn't make sense. Why? The man who designed it to show your breast. And if you tell me you don't know, may I not talk past like that? Look, you know, downstairs there, people gather. Don't go home on time. Just come at 8 o'clock. Then you see what they call attire of a harlot. Before I used to wonder, say, this girl not get mirror. She has. She's doing exactly what she wants to do. There is a spirit driving her that's not driving me. That's why I wonder why she doesn't have a mirror. She has her clients. And you get what I'm saying? She does. And like I say all the time, if you are not offering what she's offering, why are you behaving like she's behaving? Some of the people that we copy on television, I hope you will get the point. Aye, Jesus is Lord. Get this point. These are deprived, emotionally deprived people. They are not doing what they are doing because of strength. They are doing them because of weakness. I pray you get what I'm saying. There are girls that they don't know their father. Their father never held them and said, "Oh, you are looking beautiful." You know, I got home today, something happened. You know, my smallest boy came and greeted me. I said, "Oh, most handsome victory." Then the sister was standing afar off. I said, "Oh, my beautiful manner." And she said, "Handsome daddy." There are girls that have never had that experience. They grow up, there is a comment part of their brain is empty. There's one area that only a father figure should speak to. Nobody has ever spoken to it. The day they were born, their mother was crying that now trouble has come. They were not loved. I don't have time to explain. You see in the scriptures, God described Israel, found, swimming in his blood, not loved in her blood, was defined as a woman. Not there are people like that, not loved. When you see them, when Tony Braxton showed up on TV wearing two straps and calling it cloth, it was not a normal mind. It was called, "Please love me." The girl is begging for somebody to notice her. Paris Hilton, drunk driving. She was charged, whatever it is, sentenced to community service. So she was top of the news, Paris Hilton, she jammed car, she was drunk. Her friend went and got drunk and drove so that police will arrest her too. Why? She wanted the publicity that Paris Hilton had. You don't know what's driving these people you are copying. The girl is insecure. What you are thinking? Okay, she has $20 million. She doesn't have $20 million. A demon of oppression has her. If that's how rich they are, why on earth did Whitney Houston get hooked on cocaine? Why not that she's looking for something that all the money and all the fame couldn't give? Boy George was on 5 grams a day heroin. I give you 1 gram a day, your lungs will shut down. I give one shot, 1 gram. You won't breathe again. Boy George was on 5 grams a day. Why? If that
that's how happy he was. Why was he on 5 grams a day heroin? A lot of people that are teaching young girls, young boys, how to tattoo their bodies. If you know what these people are going through. Michael Jackson was paying a doctor, I think, $200,000 or $300,000 a month so he could sleep. So he could sleep. Sleep that I would drag my wife out of bed. Come, this sleep is too much. Somebody was paying either $200,000 or $300,000 a month. In case you don't know how big that money is, a hard-working senior registrar, well, what do you call senior registrar? All right, Nigeria. A chief resident in America does not earn more than $60,000 a year. A fresh specialist in America gets like $100,000 to $150,000 a year. To get $300,000 a year in the United States of America as a specialist, you worked hard. You worked extra hard. Jackson gave it to a man on a monthly basis just to send him to sleep. You are shortening your trousers like Jackson. Part of his recipe for getting sleep. Meanwhile, you're oversleeping. No? You didn't read for your last exam. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. People will be copying people. some of these people that you are copying on telly, if you know what they are going through, the girl is so sad. She's so sad. They say, okay, you have very nice breasts. Come and show it to them to make you happy. She comes out. She doesn't like what she's doing, but she has to do it. So she can, oh God, let me stop there. And you have strength in yourself. I like one thing. Praise Wohu said, there are private parts and there are public parts. And you don't convert a private part to a weapon of mass destruction. And there's a weapon of mass destruction. Let's not call people who are insecure. Their fathers have never hugged them. That's why they sleep with every man that says, okay, you're fine. You can never sweep my daughter away to get you fine. The day she was born, even the umbilical cord heard it, you are fine. The placenta was fine. As she's growing up, I tell all my children, you can't sway one of them and say, ah, you're fine. Say, you're fine for waiting. The words, they've heard it too many times. I read a book many years ago titled, Please Love Me. That's the title of the book. Please Love Me. Some of the things that taught me was the testimony of the young woman, how she became a believer. The book was Please Love Me. Why? That's what she was crying for. She was a model. You know, catwalk today, join one man tomorrow. She was crying in her heart. Somebody, please love me. So you see women that their fathers loved. They don't know what's on the other side. I'm sure you've gotten my point. Let me summarize everything I've said so far. In fact, let me add this one before I summarize. Decency is the watchword. That's it. Then look, don't drink his spirit. Everything in life has consequences. That girl I was telling you about in that book, she got raped. She didn't know that she was doing things that led to rape. She saw the other girls. When men pass, they go look like this. She thought it was a normal way that models behaved. She was a 16 or 17 year old girl. And the men would pass, she would look like this. One man grabbed her one day. That was the end of it. I've said many things, and my time is up. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Balance is what? Balance is what? Balance is what? Let me just add this one to it. I can't let this one go. I must say it. It is very important that a good Christian looks good. Amen? Stop looking like all the troubles of the earth down your head. If you have only one shirt, wash it every night. Starch it too. I want it in the morning. I'm telling you.